Hello and welcome to Next 2.0 on WQLN NPR. Next is produced by the Public's Voice Media. I'm your host, Marcus Atkinson. We're here today with our guest hosts.
Good morning. This is Chuck Camerata.
Mark, thank you for joining us as usual.
Hey, you're welcome.
Curtis Jones, welcome to the show.
Man, thank you very much, Marcus. It's a pleasure to be here. I think we did something like this about 15 years ago.
Oh, man, yeah,
It's been a while ago.
Okay.
It's good to be here.
Excellent.
Chippers Seafood and Southern Fusion, and I will just full disclosure and full transparency, it is family owned, and my dad, because I still get a whooping, we're right at 1023 State Street, and thank you for that, Mark. We're excited about the growth and expansion happening there as well.
And I'm excited about the about the catfish sandwich.
Yes, sir.
In that place.
Yes,
that catfish sandwich is off the chain. Curtis, talk to us a little bit about your journey. Start with I want to say you graduated from East.
No, actually, I ended up going to public school until at the end of middle school, and I ended up going to Mercier's Prep.
Gotcha.
Yeah, which is a funny story because I came home from Wilson after football or basketball practice one day, eighth grade, and my mom said, "Hey, you're going to prep," and I was like, "I ain't going to prep. I ain't, you know, girls at prep. I ain't going to prep." And she said, "No, you're going to Mercier's Prep," and I never even knew what that was.
Yeah.
I never even heard of that school, but. Some friends of the family, children went to another school that heard about it, and long story short, ended up going there, and it was a good move for me. It worked out for me personally, and maybe for another talk, why some of those personal stories and relationships really helped me to be here today.
Gotcha. Today, you are about to enjoy our first community crossover edition. That's right, our first community crossover edition. I've got my man Rob Davis here, my man Martin Long. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us, man. I appreciate you bringing us on the show.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You may be wondering what a community crossover edition is. It's real simple. We've got a show, they've got a show, and so this will air on our platform and on their platform. And so today we come to you live from the WQLN Next Studios down here at 1108 Parade. Rob, talk a little bit about your podcast, what it's about, where you film it. Give us the 411 on that.
Man, my name is Rob Davis, man. I'm the creator of the podcast, Let's Fail. Yeah, you heard me right, Let's Fail, F-A-I-L. And my podcast, we air from the CAM, Community Access
As Media. In Let's Not Fail So Much.
we're from the Community Access Media Studios right here on 12th Street in Erie, Pennsylvania. My show is created out of hardship, man, of just hard-worn experience of always failing and not really taking heed to the lesson. So I came up with the idea, brainstorming the idea, troubleshooting what I wanted to do on the podcast, I said, what type of service do people need? And it was motivation, man, not to give up. And I just use examples like people like Walt Disney, man, Michael Jordan, J.K. Rowling, these different type of prolific people we look at that sometime in their career they failed at succeeding at the greatest thing that they became, actors, movie animators, and sports figures and stuff. So the whole Let's Fail podcast is based upon not giving up and perseverance for real.
Yeah, Martin, talk a little bit about the concept of the show that you all do and how your personal mentality and philosophy plays into that.
Right, thank you. My personal philosophy plays into that because I've also experienced a great deal of hardship throughout life as well. I'm 33 years old right now, going on 34, God willing, this year in March. I've got three children of my own. I consider myself a child of God, and first and foremost. And, just the experience that I have coming to the door, there's a lot of things that I've learned more from my challenges in life, more from the things that I haven't done as well as I wanted to the first time, right? Failures, if you want to critique it that way. And the concept of the show, that's what it means to me. Like Bob said, you know, the things that we struggle with overcoming and then not giving up, but finding ways to overcome them,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
To me, that's the concept of the whole podcast for us in that regard.
And we are in the midst of Black History Month. And of course, every month, one, unfortunately, we talk about the same folk. We got to do better. But I wanted to highlight those that are laboring in the community, that are serving in the community, especially with our young people, with our economic circumstances. When we talk about Black history, one of the things that we forget is we are all living history if we are fulfilling our obligation to community. And so often we forget about these examples of living history and we rely upon those that have come before us. The work continues and we want to shine the light on that a little bit today. And so to that end, I've got three very special guests with me today, three men that are doing their fair share to leave Erie better than what they found it. We've got our brother, Bishop Frank Quinn. Bishop, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Welcome. Glad to be here.
All right. And we've got Mr. Jason Roberts. Jason, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right. And we've got Mr. Edison Nicholson. Edison, welcome to the show, brother.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All
man.
Right. I say Edison's name with love and affection because we all came up together.
Yeah,
Edison, it's funny. I'll give a little backstory on Edison real quick. Edison was trying to show us the way in high school. This brother would show up with a suit jacket on. And these are not jokes. He would show up with a suit jacket on and a briefcase. He just knew he was going to be a businessman.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, it's funny because as a member of 100 Black Men of Erie and 100 Black Men of America, one of our taglines is, what they see is what they'll be. And Edison was actually doing that to us. As teenagers. So here I am now. I'm a businessman now in my 50s. And I was looking at Edison looking like a businessman in his teens.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know something, though? That is a beautiful example because we talk to young men and women about that right now. Whatever you're aspiring to be, start claiming it right now. Start claiming it right now. So Edison, Thanksgiving is upon us. And I had to tell you, this holiday seems to get more and more expensive every year. And I know we talk about the working poor, the poor in general in this country, but this is a time of year that even though many of us sit around the table and we count our blessings, and we should, there are a lot of people that are stressed out because they just don't have the resources or the wherewithal to feed themselves and their families the way they'd like to at a time like this. And when you look at the environment across the country, you can understand why. There was an article from USA Today that was just released on November 12th. And the title is, Why is Thanksgiving So Expensive? And here's what the data says. And it broke down just a few things for you to keep in mind as we go into this interview with our special guest today, who was taking it upon himself to address this issue in his own unique way. It talked about, although 2023 estimates are not available, the Consumer Price Index shows that food and home prices are up 2.4% this year. The Bureau of Labor Statistics found that grocery prices were up nearly 17% in the past 2 years. And although turkey prices are slightly decreasing, side dishes, not so much. They're not following the same trends. And so overall, it's expected to be 4.4% more expensive than 2023. But to get specific, if you look at the numbers for 2022, 21, and 20 on average, a Thanksgiving feast for 10 and 22 was $64.05. You compare that to 2021, $55, right, for a party of 10. Then you go back to 2020, $47. Target has a special promotion going on right now where they're trying to offset this. If you go to Target right now, they've got a meal for four, and here's what's included in this. A turkey, russet potatoes, green beans, cream of mushroom soup, cranberry sauce, stuffing and gravy, all for $25. Why? Because this is getting expensive. Enter our guest today, Mr. Michael Hooks, founder of Michael Making Lives Better, a local nonprofit here in Erie, Pennsylvania. And I won't go too deeply into who Mike is. I'll let him unpack that himself. But one of the reasons, the primary reason we have Mike on today is because Mike is one of these citizens who says to himself, if it is to be, it's up to me. And we hear slogans like, be the change that you want to see. But all of us have a responsibility to, in some way, shape, or fashion, live that out and to model that behavior, not just for our neighborhoods, per se, but for our entire community, especially for the generation coming up behind us. And so Mike's work has inspired a lot of people locally. And so today, Mark and I wanted to sit down and just kind of unpack the magic and the work, as you'll hear, behind this Thanksgiving endeavor that Mike has taken on and some of the other work that he's done. With all that being said, I say, Mike Hooks, welcome to the show.
Thank you, bro. Thank you for having me.
All right, man. So why don't we start out real simple. Give us some of your backstory. In the lead-in, I told the audience that you are a community doer, but that comes from somewhere. So give us the backdrop of Mike Hooks, the genesis of this charitable spirit that you display so much in community.
Well, I would attribute it to I come from a good family, a family that's always cared about others, but a family that had very little means. So feeding people is something that I enjoy doing, and it's something that's deep and dear in my heart, mainly because when I was a younger kid, you know, I was hungry. And I know what it's like to be hungry, and it's not a pleasant feeling, you know. My mother always had some things laying around the house. You know, I could make me a cheese sandwich or get a hot dog, but my mother was not a cooker. And I would go to my friend's house, and boy, you could smell it outside. You understand? So I would stay around and hang around until they start pulling them plates out, and hey Mike, you want something to eat? Yes, you know what I mean? Because I knew, if, you know, when I get home, it like I said, it was something always there, but it was just a little something. And so that's just very important to me. God blessed me and put me in a position to build a kitchen, and we utilize that kitchen to serve the residents of Erie, Pennsylvania.
And Marcus and I are here today with Chuck Nelson, who has been. How long have you been at the Cross?
12 years now.
So has been pastoring a little church called the Cross here in Erie, which is merging with St. Paul's. He's also a member of Erie City Council. Was president of the council last year. So connected and involved. We're also here with Drew Himes, who's pastor of Church of the Cross, an adjunct professor at Gannon, a psychotherapist, an EMS instructor at Butler Community College, and I don't want to talk any more about his credentials because it makes me feel small. And we're sitting with Susanna Faulkner here this morning at the MLK Center, because we have no power at the studio still. And that's an ongoing issue and problem that we got to deal with. But we're here to talk to Susanna about the recent appointment of Mel Witherspoon to City Council and how that kind of all fell out and what are the issues that go along with that. So I'm going to ask Susanna to kind of explain the process to us, first of all, and then we can explore a little bit about the implications of the decisions that have been made in the last few days. So my understanding, Susanna, is, and by the way, welcome, Susanna.
Thank you so much for having me.
AI is just scary. Some of these deep fake videos that I've seen, I'm staring at this thing like, damn, if I didn't know any better. I'm really thinking this person is saying and doing this thing, which leads to the, as crazy as this sounds, what is truth?
Yeah, you do sound crazy sometimes. Yeah. But that's because it's a crazy world. just life makes us crazy. Yeah. You remember when the internet came along, there was this sort of sensibility that said, now people are going to have access to all the information that they need, and that's going to make us smarter and more thoughtful. And here we are sitting, and we're thinking, not so much. Hasn't happened. In fact, in many ways, the opposite has happened, and there's a lot of reasons for that. Maybe that's a conversation part of the AI thing, but that leads me to the same suspicions with AI. What are the unforeseen consequences of this that we're not even thinking about? Because if you give somebody a tool, they're going to use it. But they can use it for a lot of different things.
Yeah.
You give me a hammer, I can build my house. I can also hit you in the head. Right. So what are we, how do we use these tools?
Just be the best you could do. Be the best you. Work hard as you can work. And don't let nobody deter you from where your goal might be leading you.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing because, man, Denzel, I guess, said this. I like to take quotes because they matter. He said, man gives rewards. No, he said, man gives awards. God gives rewards. Mm-hmm. And that reward is in the work. When I see kids at the school, when they really believe they could be something that we're trying to help them be, I love that.
Yeah.
Because so many people in our community get told what they can't do. So many people, sooner or later, when we leave them, I wish I had a high school, to be honest with you. But so many, they hear so many negative things. There's so many things that we're used to. We're used to turning on each other. We're used to hearing negative words. We're used to calling, why you? And here we are saying today, a bunch of us, because we fly together, we lift each other up, iron sharpen iron, all that. I'm like, go, because I'm gonna do this. And not out of a competitive nature, because as Mike said, I can't be around this without some of this rubbing off on me, and I get excited. I'm like, how can I help? How can I help? And I'm like, why you? And there's too much of that that's out there. You know, don't get in the way. If you don't want to help, don't get in the way.
There you go.
Don't get in the way.
That's bottom line. Mm-hmm.
And so
coach them up.
Yeah, yep. We're going to coach them up.
Yep. Charles Farquharson got you hip to something that has become kind of a mantra around the. First of all, go back to the connections. Charles Farquharson was married to who? Johnny May Atkinson. An icon in her own right. All these connections. All these connections. Yes. But, you know, to that point, grown folk have life coaches.
Yep.
Nowadays, I think with grown folk, they overplan it. You know what I'm saying? But the kids need to grow. I got fired again. Right. Can you coach me? Put me in on your phone, on your job. Speak to that, Bishop.
You know, that's it's exciting to me because the people that I coach and mentor up, you know, I help introduce them to possibilities and things that can happen. Yep. Because normally I'm just saying if you want to be they may want to be a CEO or something, you know, but they don't have any reference to that. So they may think, well, that's not for me, you know, but when you're coaching them and moving them along and showing them certain things and certain principles, you know, this is achievable. Yep. You can do it, you know, and being, that's what's so awesome about being in a nonprofit, like, with Mr. Wiley showed us that this can be successful. Mm-hmm. This can be successful. Yep, absolutely. And yesterday I was thinking about Irma Lindsay, you know, and her overalls.
Yes, yes.
She was making a billboard statement right there. Sure you can work.
Absolutely. You read the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. He talks about working at McDonald's.
Yes.
And this is another paradigm that I live by. You've got the person who, they work at McDonald's, and in their mind, I'm stuffing fries and make me some extra dollars. The other person next to him or her is stuffing fries in the bag and stuffing burgers in the bag with the intention of owning one of those franchises one day. You can look at McDonald's as a job. Or a franchise training program. It all depends on your outlook on life. You want to own one of these things? I think it's necessary for you to learn. Absolutely. What does it mean to stuff the fries, to make the hamburgers, to do the invoices for the shipping? And all of these things need to be learned.
Nick Scott. Nick Scott started at Arby's.
And I talk to people who grew up in alcoholic households. Either you want to be like your alcoholic father or mother, or learn from them and learn what not to be and do things better. You hear that? Absolutely.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. Listen, gentlemen, this has been a robust discussion.
I agree. I definitely agree.
Much more inclusive. And I think we actually see a similar thing that brings us to today's Christian nationalism in the way that the Big Sort occurs, you know, after World War II, where you start getting homogenous neighborhoods. And so, like, I'm sitting here with Drew, and he's Presbyterian, so that means he's probably Scottish, and then I'm Congregationalist. And you really are?
Absolutely.
He is.
we were talking about it earlier.
How do you know?
I'm super Scottish.
And then as a Congregationalist, you know which ethnicity I must be coming from, right?
More Eastern European?
Welsh.
English.
Welsh.
Yeah, right. I'm not, because that's just not how that works anymore for me.
Right. I just
should have noticed
super
the
Scottish
kilt when you walk. So we have this thing where in the 50s when you get.
I want to thank Mark Blunt for joining us again. Thank you, brother.
All right.
Listen, thank you so much for tuning in. That's going to do it for me today. Tune in next time for more discussion and analysis with local and national guests. I want you to remember that Next 2.0 streams on Fridays on all major podcast platforms and the fourth Sunday of the month at 4 p.m. on WQLN NPR, which is 91.3 FM. And again, I've got this new feature. If you want to leave a message, comment, or suggestion for the show, call and let us know what that is. And on that, you can call the Next hotline at 814-240-8816. Again, 814-240-8816, the Next hotline. We look forward to hearing from you. I am Marcus Atkinson. It has been my pleasure to be your host today. I want you to come and join us again. So so that you can hear about what's next for our communities and our democracy. Peace.